Welcome to the Startup Lunchbreak Podcast. I'm your host, Pearl, and in each episode, we are going to unpack key insights, expert advice, and success stories to power up your startup journey. Let's make your entrepreneurial dreams a reality.
All right. Good evening, everyone. Welcome once again to our session for today. I see Ima is here as well. So we have all our speakers here, and I do see Promise, Dr. Mo, Mamo, Toyin, Mr. Akos, great to have you on. And yeah, today we're going to be talking about innovate or evaporate, rethinking customer engagement in a cash-conscious economy. So it's a really great topic to unpack, especially in these times. So I'm really looking forward to the conversation tonight, this evening. And yeah, we have an amazing panel of speakers that I'm so excited to be moderating for. So I'm going to take just 1 minute to kind of introduce them quickly, and then I'll hand over to them as actually to let us know a bit about them and what they do and give us a bit of context to where they are coming from tonight, and then we will dive into the conversation. So first up, we have Kemdi Ebi. Kemdi is the co-founder and CEO of Enter5 Inc. Great to have you on, Kemdi. And then we have Alicia Golding. Alicia is an investment manager at Techstars. Great to have you on, Alicia. We have Okpe Onaboye. Okpe is the co-founder and CEO of Renda. And last but definitely not the least, we have Emmanuel Obala. Emmanuel is the co-founder and CEO of Kebo. And Kebo is actually a Techstars 2022 company. So yeah, so that's our panel of speakers. And I know that with the great mix we have, we're going to have a very robust conversation. But before we dive right into the topic, I want to give each of them a chance to introduce themselves and tell you a bit about what they do. And we'll kick off from there. So Kemdi, I'll let you go first.
Okay. Hi, good day, everyone. Great to be here. My name is Kemdi Ebi. I'm the co-founder, CEO of Versus, Enter5 Incorporated, the creators of Versus Africa. And what we do at Versus is we're helping solve the problem of the lack of quality data, specifically consumer data, in emerging markets starting in Africa. And so we help brands, companies of different sizes and industries to help navigate and find this data to make more intelligent business decisions. Great to be here and looking forward to a very fruitful conversation.
All right. Thank you, Kemdi. Great to have you on as well. Emmanuel?
Hi, everyone. Good evening. Thank you for having me, April. My name is Emmanuel, and I'm the co-founder and CEO at Kebo. What we're doing at Kebo basically is building a financial management operating system for construction businesses. So what this means is through our software, construction and putting them in a position to manage their projects, grow their sales, save costs, and also assess financing. Look forward to engaging more. Thank you.
Okay. Hi, everyone. I'm Alicia Golden, investment manager for Techstars. A global accelerator that invests in companies and the pre-seed level. Personally, really committed to and convicted by supporting especially African startups, but as they scale across their economy, but across the continent and into the wider global economy. That's me.
All right. Thank you so much, Alicia. Okay. Do you want to go next? We'll catch up with Alicia. Back.
All right. Thanks, Pearl. Hi, everyone. My name is Okpe Onaboye. I'm the CEO and co-founder at Renda. At Renda, we've built a technology solution that provides access to the end-to-end fulfillment and logistics infrastructure for major businesses in Nigeria and also in Africa. So right now we have manufacturers, we have FMCGs, we have large e-commerce businesses that access flexible storage, inventory management solutions, delivery solutions, vehicle booking solutions, and also cash collection infrastructure through our platform. So it's basically allowing businesses to be able to scale across Africa easily without having to worry about their fulfillment or their logistics needs on one platform. Great to be here and looking forward to the session. Thank you, everyone.
Great. Thank you so much. And thank you to all of you for being here. And thank you to all our listeners. I know that it's going to be a great conversation. Yeah, so like I said, we're talking about innovate or evaporate, rethinking customer engagement in a cash conscious economy. And it's a really, really fun topic. And when we kind of came up with this, I was excited to see, because I think this is very, very relevant for today. And I know that by the time we're done, a lot of founders or would-be founders or people on the call are going to get a lot of value from it. So I guess the first question I have is, I want to get all the speakers' thoughts on the present economic condition in Africa specifically, and how it affects the startup ecosystem in your perspective. So we've had a couple of years where there was like a startup boom, right? And then we're kind of like in that lull, and there's been different, a lot of startups closing and all of that. But what, from your perspective, do you think, what are your thoughts on the present economic conditions and how it affects the ecosystem, especially in Africa? So I think I'll let Kembi speak first, and then get kind of like the founder's perspective, and then I'll go to Alicia to get like an investor perspective. So Kembi, yeah, you can go ahead. You can kick off.
All right. I hope you can hear me okay.
Yeah, just I can.
Doing a mic check. Okay. So thank you so much. Thank you so much again. And it's really lovely to be here to share a very important topic. When I got the initial invitation, I saw the title. It was actually very, very appealing, because it's something that is obviously on the top of everyone's mind if you're a business owner, whether small or large. So being in the startup ecosystem is no different. Everybody's feeling the heat of what's going on across Africa. Economies are seeing all-time lows in their currencies and how they're pairing up in the global economy, and inflation is at all-time high. For instance, we're headquartered in Nigeria, Lagos, Nigeria. Nigeria is obviously not exempt from this. We've been experiencing all-time, bad downturns, where we have seen our Naira currency be at its lowest in history. So it's actually a time that there's a guy who is a good friend of mine, and he says that, you know, if you decide to actually, you know, live in Nigeria and actually decide to continue running business in Nigeria, really any part of Africa, but since we're headquartered in Nigeria, you know, he said, you know, you must be insane. And insane we are, because what founders do in these times is try to figure out how to survive and obviously, you know, jump the hurdles that this economy brings. And again, it's unprecedented. So it's not like there's any sort of roadmap or anything that's come before it. Regardless of any industry you're in or what problem you're solving as a as a startup or even as a business owner. So I think in general, you know, what I feel it has done naturally is that it's really caused a lot of people to be a bit more laser focused on what's working and what's not. Something that we, you know, incorporated in our own just personal sort of like practice in our company was, let's first really study the micro and macroeconomics, and let's see actually what's going on. So we're a data company, so it was so we're already oriented that way, but it was now about really doing deeper research into even what's going on in our consumer market generally before we start honing in on who our real customers will be even in the downturn, and where we can find revenue. But I'm not going to go too much into those details, because I know we have quite a lot to cover here. But I think generally I felt like, you know, for me as an insane founder that lives in Nigeria at this moment, it was more exciting, because it was like, okay, all right, so here we are. We have things that we can uncover, and it's going to actually help, you know, put us in a point of innovation to figure out how we can help companies as well find the data points to actually navigate their own issues. So for us, it was a bit more of an exciting sort of challenge, but obviously not in any way, shape or form saying that it's a good time to be in, because everybody's feeling it, and we're not exempt either. So I guess it's all to say that, you know, just really presented a great opportunity. And it's something that's helping us learn every single day as we learn more things you know, and more junctures where we have to figure out, okay, you know, what's this new problem and how do we get around it and things like this. Yeah.
All right. Thanks a lot for that. Great time to be in. I like that perspective. And also making sure we focus on what's working and eliminate what's not. So yeah. Emmanuel, do you want to add to that from your perspective? Okwe, any one of you guys can jump in.
I mean, I think for me, basically, it's when I saw the topic, only one word came to my head, and that's just revenue, basically, right? Founders like, you know, like myself, thinking about, you know, how well should we grow revenue, right? How well should we engage our customers? I think I had someone say something the other day, I think it was on Twitter or so on social media, that if you're finding it hard to raise from investors, right, the next people that you should actually raise from are your customers, right? And the way I look at it is, in order to raise more efficiently from your customers, you have to be customer obsessed, right? So what that means is you have to always think and breathe and leave your customers thinking about how can you serve them much better? What are other values that you can unlock? What are those things that you majorly or basically were not paying attention to, or maybe you found relevant that you're seeing that, okay, it would be nice to even experiment this feature or look out for this partnership or just unlock one or two things that can help grow revenue. But I believe at the art of growing revenue is, of course, is customers engagement, right? And one of the things we are doing at Kebo is continuously speaking to customers. Interestingly, we operate in an industry that is like highly fragmented. So we can always like spot opportunities and see how they connect with our vision and figure out ways to just like capture value and, you know, double down on revenue as well. So I think for me, the way I would approach this current, you know, season has been more innovative as a founder, and also keeping your team close, because at the end of the day, it takes a village to raise a child, right? So we need the team together to be able to say, okay, what can we do? What do we need to do, right? What are those things that, like Kemdi has said, what are those things that, you know, are not worth our time right now? Yeah. And what are those things that we need to try out that will help us capture more? But at the end, at the center of it is also like continuously, you know, speaking and engaging your customers so that whatsoever you're bringing out,
great, we add more value to them and unlock potential. Thanks for those insightful points, Ima. Okwe, do you want to quickly chime in?
Yeah, I mean, so I think for me, I would always categorize the challenges into three things, right? Which I think I will now bring it down to Nigeria, because Africa has, I mean, every country in Africa has different challenges. Number one thing is the currency devaluation. And I think this has hit us in so many ways. Both, I mean, especially if you fundraise as an, you know, as a founder, I think the currency devaluation has really affected us in the way that we report to our investors, right? So, for example, if you're making the same revenue that could give that you were reporting at 100K last year, this year maybe you're recording it at $30K. So I think that's like the immediate impact of, you know, I'm saying this from a founder perspective, right? You know, that currency devaluation is big because we raise in dollars and we have to report back in dollars. So that's big for founders. The second thing is the fuel increase, both diesel and we're in logistics. So diesel and fuel, you know, and petrol are affecting us and everybody else. And because, again, if you have an office, diesel or petrol affects you. If you're running a vehicle, you know, so you have the fuel that's also affecting everybody. And of course, this also leads to high cost of operations and high cost of living, because your employees are asking you for more money, right? And also as an employee and or as a business, you're also thinking about the high cost of your own operations as a business. So I think those three things are very critical, and those are the three things that are affecting businesses right now in Africa: the currency devaluation, the fuel increase in fuel cost, and of course the high cost of operations. So the next question is, how do we as founders tackle these issues on a day-to-day basis? So those are the three things I would say is affecting the economy right now.
Great. Thanks so much for that, Okwe. Yeah, and then we got the founder's perspective. Alicia, what do you think from an want to hear from you from an investor side? What does this how do you see the economic situation, especially in Africa, and what does that mean for startups in the ecosystem?
Yeah, that's a great question. It's really valuable to hear the different perspectives that have been presented so far. I think that, you know, now is sort of a reckoning, if you will, across the ecosystem, because it's not even that the startup boom is dwindling. It's more of the VC or investment boom. But I think overall, it's really healthy for the ecosystem. I know, like, in real time and on the ground, like, it's intense and it's heavy. But I think that a lot of bad practices were perpetuated for a little bit longer than they should have. And what I mean by those bad practices is, you know, many founders were building for investors, and particularly investors outside of their local ecosystem, which on one hand, I understand, because if you're building, you know, a venture scalable enterprise that has the ability to deliver outside returns, you need to kind of be guided by the light, or by, you know, the POV or perspective of the firms that will partner with you and support you in that journey. However, what has happened is the nuance in that approach has been, I think, missed by a lot of founders, and that anchoring into your customer's needs and your customer as being the ultimate sort of guidepost into how you build, where you build, what that looks like, etc., I think was lost for a little bit. And so now we're being forced to kind of get back down to that anchoring, right? And then I think also, I think less of my perspective of what's happening and more of sort of a piece of advice or guidance would be to, I know in the journey of building, especially like a VC backable startup, it's like go fast, go quickly, move. And in that process, you know, this is kind of like growth for the at any cost and all costs. A lot of corners get cut. And so previously, okay, maybe no big deal. Maybe as you go into the next round or the next round, the next phase of growth, you know, you can kind of play catch up and clean up sort of some of that operational debt, perhaps, or tech debt, or I don't know, debt in sort of how you forecast it in your financial model. You can kind of play catch up and clean that up. But I think now more than ever, because of this market correction, because every naira, every dollar is much more expensive. To cut those corners in the early days as you're building and trying to hit your benchmarks becomes even more costly when trying to get to the next phase. And then also, like, when being evaluated at the next phase, if you're raising money, if you are trying to expand into another market or another city. So I guess my piece of advice in relation to where we are now, and also something to keep in mind for the builders listening on this call, like, attention to detail is really critical right now. And I know it's sort of like a heavy consideration, because there's also so many other things, as Ope mentioned, you know, the hike in fuel prices, just the cost of operations, right? Employees demanding more, venture dollars becoming more conservative. It becomes one more thing to keep in mind. But if you want to build to last, right? If you want to build something that the customers who are your ultimate sort of fate determiner will use and rely upon for years and years and years to come, you know, I would say keep in mind that foundational and organizational structure of just not cutting corners, and trust that, like, just like any cycle, this too shall pass. And I know it sounds like really trite in a time like this, but listen, cycles come and go, and every ecosystem is going through this right now, but also has gone through it in the past, the ones that are a bit more mature. So hang on to your hats and brace yourself, because we will get through this.
All right. Great, Alicia. Great perspective. And I definitely agree. This is just, there's highs, there's lows, there's always going to be booms and recessions and everything. And I think basically it's bringing out kind of like the best of startups and making us focus on the things that matter. So yeah, great point. Okay, so to dive in, so basically, and you touched on something, Alicia, where you're talking about really, and I think that's something that more people have been talking about, and is really just how to build sustainable businesses, right? Businesses that can stand the test of time, whether in a high economy, low economy, businesses that are sustainable. And so the next question I want to throw out there, and I'll go back and forth between the founders and you, Alicia, would be, and it's a two-part question, right? So I'm thinking about what kind of business models should, how can startups, maybe this is a better way to ask this, how can startups adapt their business models to thrive in a cash-conscious economy? And the B part of that is, what are some innovative cost-saving strategies that startups can implement to continue growing without sacrificing that quality and growth at the same time? So I guess that's a two-part question. I'd love to hear from the founders' perspectives in terms of maybe case studies, what they're doing to kind of like ride the storm. What are some cost-saving strategies that other founders can learn from? And probably from Alicia, hearing a bit more about business models, what investors are looking at to just make sure, is this a sustainable business that we're investing in? So I'll let Okwe go first. Emmanuel, I sent you a speaker invite again. So please, you can accept that. But Okwe, you can kick off and then I'll hear from Alicia and then Kembi. Yeah.
All right, thanks. So I mean, speaking from what we're currently doing, I think for me, I mean, I'm a third-time founder and I've been doing this for 14 years, right? And I've always built businesses with unit economics in mind. What do I mean? We need to go back to the basics of what building businesses mean. And I think over the years, with this whole idea of fundraising, what you found is that we've lost what the concept of running a business means. I mean, if you think about business, it's basically making sure that, one, you have customers, two, you have suppliers, and three, you're making money and you're actually profitable. But what we found over the years is that people are building businesses just to raise funds, right? So there's no focus on, am I actually profitable? Nobody actually knows when they are going to be profitable. All they know is, I want to raise my next round. I want to raise my next round. But I think for us as a business at Render, from the beginning, we've always had our eyes on profitability and also at break-even, right? And which is basically, look, whatever we are making, we must get to a point where we're able to feed ourselves. So even if we're raising money, we're not raising money to run. There's a difference between raising funds to run your operations and raising funds to scale. And I think founders have to understand the difference. Whatever money you're making must be able to fund your operations, so that if you are raising external capital, you're raising it either to scale your tech, to scale your operations, to enter into a new market, etc. But I think to really be able to adapt, I think founders have to come back to the basics of business, which is ensure that, one, you have customers that are paying you, right? You have suppliers that, if you need suppliers, you have suppliers. And most importantly, you're making enough money to be able to, cover your operations. So if you need to cut costs in terms of your staff, I mean, sometimes I hear how much people are paying for payroll. I hear how much people are paying for certain things. I hear how much founders are paying themselves. I mean, you hear some pre-seed founders or some seed founders and you wonder, hold on, if you're paying yourself this, I mean, how big is your payroll? And then you find out that these founders are making maybe 4K per month, or they're making 2K per month, but they have such bloated operations. But all they're looking for is to raise the next one. So I don't think that we really need to adapt. I think we just need to come back to what the basics of business is, which means make more than you're spending, so that you have enough money to be able to run the business, so that whatever you're raising is to scale your business. So I think that's one thing that thankfully we've been able to hit profitability as a business, which is fantastic. So it means that, we have a very solid business at Render, which is good for us. All right? We've always put that into perspective or into our focus. So I think we just need to go back to basics, right? I don't think it's about adaptation. Just go back to what basics is. That's on the first question. The second question is cost savings. The same way, I mean, we see, for example, in Nigeria, we are talking about our president cutting costs, selling airplanes, cutting cost of the governance or whatever. I think founders need to take the same approach. If you're going to really cut costs in your organization, start with how much you're paying yourself and how much you are consuming as a founder, right? It must be a culture, right? So that everybody knows that we are running lean and then we are going to scale. So as the business is making more revenue, we are rewarding ourselves. One of the things I think founders need to stop doing is stop paying too much high fixed salaries, right? Because you need to cut down your fixed costs, because these are the things that come out of your operations cost every single month. Cut down your fixed cost and put some things to be based on, performance. So for example, if we're able to hit certain milestones, we'll reward everybody, right? There can be bonuses, there can be commissions, there can be different things. But these things are based on us being able to hit milestones. So I think as founders, we need to start thinking about how to cut down on fixed costs and start looking at how to have some sort of reward-based sort of spend so that as the business is growing, then we're also growing. But it has to start from the founder. The same way we are holding our president accountable for him to cut costs, founders too have to start cutting their own costs so that the business can actually survive. So I think right now, investors are looking for very much cash-efficient businesses, and they want to know that as founders, you actually know what it takes for your business to become profitable. Know your revenue, know your gross margin, I mean, know your cost of sales, and know how much your operations cost. These are basic things that every founder must be tracking on a monthly basis. So I don't think it's that difficult. I think it's just the fact that, I would also blame investors. Sorry, Alicia. But I would also blame investors because I feel like investors have actually indulged on these things over the years. And they've actually, you know, like pushed founders to grow at all costs. And that's really what brought us where we are today. So I think we just need to go back to what business actually means and what does it mean to actually build a solid business. So that's my own viewpoint on the question. Thank you.
Okay, first of all, I'm jumping in here. Now, Ope, you know good and well that you're definitely speaking for investors generally, but you know good and well what I stand for, what I believe, and exactly why I was the first check in on Renda. Because I'm
sorry.
Listen, I'm not up here to catch strays. I'm part of the solution. All that to say, listen, everything Ope said, like protect this man at all costs. This is exactly what I saw when I first met him and why I thought this is the kind of founder we as investors in the VC ecosystem need to be backing. This level of sobriety and your approach to business building, your understanding that at the end of the day, like unit economics matter. There, you know how many, I'm not going to make this in a hit piece. I would say that I would love to see anybody deciding, okay, I'm going to build a venture backable business. I'm going to go out and raise VC dollars. I'm going to actually be married to, first of all, have, but then be married to your financial model. Do you know how many founders are out here building without like an accurate, up-to-date financial model? It's insane. Okay, so I'm staying really closely connected in an intimate way to your unit economics. And they change, right? As market conditions change, as your product evolves and grows, as your customer demands evolve and grow, it's constantly moving. It's a living, breathing organism. And I think that some of the growth at all costs, the vanity metrics, right? That a lot of companies have used as benchmarks to quantify their growth or their importance, right, in the market. Like none of that exists anymore. And if it is relevant to you or any sort of capital you're trying to attain, you know, you're playing a different game, and that's a shorter term win if it's a win at all. Like. Anyway, I could go on and on and on, but I won't. I think Ope summed it up in such an eloquent and thorough way. I don't know what else there is to say. Also, any founders that are listening, please have a financial model and please be updating it and forecasting with it and understanding like your unit economics in a real way as they're growing and evolving with the living, breathing organism that is your business.
Thanks so much, Alicia. And thanks, Okwe. I think you raised some really great points. I was like just like on the emojis because I think you're very right where a lot of founders forgot that having a startup or founding a startup is actually a business. A startup is a business. And what are those key functions that make a business what are those key principles of business, right? And if we focus on that, not so much adapting, but going back to the basics, which I think was the primary thing of what you said, a lot of problems will be solved. So thanks for that. Kembi, Ima, do you want to jump in here? I'm sure you guys are itching to kind of like maybe say a word or two.
Itching is an understatement. I am literally like on my feet, like, wow. Okwe said so much that I was just like, yeah, you go, man, keep going. And Alicia just comes in. So, I mean, this is like a Techstars family. So everyone's speaking pretty much on the same wavelength. I'm just going to basically touch on, like, Ope made a lot of great points. I think that for me, especially, I think a lot of people. So going back to obviously just people have now been forced to think less investor-centric and more customer-centric. That's a given. 2020 to 2021, we're seeing all these numbers going into startups. And, you know, sometimes, you know, a new startup comes up with an idea, they cough, and then they get $1 million. But on what business model, on what unit economics, what is their actual business? And a lot of people didn't really know what those things were. And then they ask, how come this startup doesn't exist? And that's some of the reasons why, similar to my colleague Opoe's mindset, you know, I've always been very conventional with just like, I'm kind of like one of those old school entrepreneurs. What's my P&L? What's my, you know, what makes sense to actually build and all of that. But I took a different approach. My business specifically actually needed a product. So I needed money. I actually needed money to build initially. And it wasn't one of those things where I could use a business model and just maybe build something that could then propel it or just get people to, you know, sign up like most fintechs. It's a data infrastructure that has to do with like building actual like a way for people, in this case brands, to get access to African consumer data to start. So it required us to raise money. But what was interesting too was we always had the customer in mind. And one of the things we did was we were always having to educate a lot of our investors that were both the prospects and the ones that we eventually worked with that, you know, this is how it goes. And I think how many years later in our journey, I think a lot of them are appreciating some of the things that we've done and we've said. So it was very difficult. And like similar to what Opoe said too, you know, it was one of those things where there was a lot of sacrifice made from the foundership level. And it had to be done even before, even now that we're going through a more cash-strapped, cash-conscious, you know, sort of situation with most startups. So we've already inculcated that attitude towards our cost. But it just made us realize that it is the right way to do it. And almost like, you know, Alicia also mentioned this, but I love the fact that there's just this natural startup reformation that's happened. There's this market correction. It's weeded out the bad actors from both the founders and investor side. Because there were some bad actors on the investor side that would tell you, no, you're building this for us because we have to make money. And you're thinking to yourself, hold on a second. But I mean, yeah, I know you have to, you know, have your returns for your LPs, but what about our customers? And that's where, you know, sometimes people who didn't have conviction then now have that conviction that, oh yeah, we dodged a bullet with that one, with those types of conversations. And these are very like similar conversations like myself and Alicia and many of the like minds around us have, because, you know, we're very lucky to, you know, to even have started with the tech stars who understood what we're doing and could invest and even still help us as we kept going through the journey. It's very, very important. Well, I'm going to mention something on sustainability because cost saving is it's a balancing act. You have to look internal and external. So one of the things that's very key is that, you know, the first thing people look at on their line item when they're trying to cut costs is salaries. It's very easy to do that. I agree with Opoe to some degree that, yeah, founders need to look at fixed costs for sure. I think there's a fixed ideal minimum that founders should pay themselves. And then everything else should be like, just, you know, win the business, get revenue, and then get your commission off of that. I agree. But I think what's more important is actually looking at it from the perspective of who's your best talent and how do you keep them. So HR practices like that becomes more imperative to actually, put in your organization. So this is where I get very close to my human resource executive. And she's not a secretary. She's actually part of my executive management. That's something that I think is very important now. And I always advise a lot of companies to really keep HR as an executive level talent, because these are people who are going to help you sort of structure your actual strategy and, you know, compensation benefits, recruiting strategy, and even retention strategy, because your quality people you want to keep. You may not be able to pay them that much, but what else are you doing with employee engagement and keeping them, you know, somewhat compensated in other ways that maybe might not be monetary, but might be important to their needs as well in growing their experience or things like this. So I've realized that quality is very subjective when you start looking at your biggest talent, because some people don't actually always value the money. They actually value other things. So it's really just making sure that you can start getting into the granular details and start to become very, very technical in how you're seeing those things. And I really feel like, you know, that human capital from the internal side is equally important as, obviously, like everyone said, the customer side. So we are in market research. So we're already big believers that you have to do your market research and understand your customers much better. I want companies to be able to tell me, this is the prototype of my customer. This is exactly what they need right now, right? So when we look at companies and help them, we're saying to them, your customer said they needed this yesterday, but this is what they actually need today. Customer needs evolve. So I always challenge companies to try as much as possible to not keep market research static. You have to continue. You have to refresh because things change. Social, political things, you know, occur. So many moving parts, right? So you have to make sure that you're up to date with what your customer needs are so that you're not losing track and you can keep making money and offering value that they'll obviously give you back in the form of money. And then, of course, you're increasing revenue. So that's just my quick points.
All right. Thanks, Kembi. Kembi, I'm going to touch on, I'd love some of a lot of the points you raised on point. Emmanuel, do you want to touch there? Do you want to touch on something before I go to the next question?
I mean, my co-speakers have said it all.
Yeah.
They said it all. Cool. I think just so, I think for me is just keeping track of your metrics, right? That is one very, very important thing that can also, you know, for you to sustainability. I think YC has this this template where, I mean, I call it templates or a tabular presentation where they literally just segmented business models and say, if you're in this business model, this is what you should keep track of, right? I feel like fundamentally, that's like the first thing, especially if you're a first-time founder, saying, okay, what are those things? I want to be sustainable in X number of years, fine. Am I building a B2B, B2C model? Am I making money? What are those things I should actually track? You know, what are my real metrics as opposed to my vanity metrics, right? So because most of the time you see founders hyped about their financial metrics and maybe use that to raise funding. But at the end of the day, you find out that the revenues are not actually growing as they ought to. I feel founders should have more confidence with their real metrics as opposed to their vanity metrics, right? So it's one of the things to actually pay more attention to, especially in this season, if we as founders haven't been paying so much attention to it. Know your metrics, track them month to month, figure out a way to increase them, figure out a way to grow them, which takes us back to the old rethinking customer engagement and stuff. So once you've gotten that right and you're growing, then you see that you're literally on your way to becoming sustainable. I mean, every other thing like your cost, your burn, you know, talent, every other thing definitely aligning between how you're making those decisions, right? Because at the end of the day, like Ope said, you are building a business. Yeah.
All right. Thank you so much, Emmanuel. Great points from all the speakers. And I know that people listening are kind of like getting, even if it's a reminder, getting that reawakening or that reassurance that I'm on the right path. So what I'm going through isn't strange. And when I'm making these decisions, it isn't strange. So I think we need more of that spoken about and more people need to, great points, everyone. And I also loved Kembi coming from the perspective of, we had to raise to build, right? And I think it just boils down to the point of know your business model, know your financial model. It may not look, there's not definitely no one size fits all, but once you have that clear path of this is where we're going, then you kind of know what works for you, but just keep your eyes on what are those numbers, which Emmanuel just talked about, your unit economics, unit metrics. You need to know what those numbers are and you need to keep an eye on them. So really great points. If anybody has a question, we're kind of like wrapping up. I have like two more questions for the speakers. If you have time, but if anybody has any questions, you can raise your hand. You can use the chat to kind of put that on. But I want to talk because one of the things we've talked about really in terms of like cash saving is cost saving is really just cutting costs, right? And where can we cut costs and how can we be aggressive at cutting costs and keeping those numbers low, right? So I want to ask a question from this perspective, and that's like, what are, if any, some of the risks that are associated with aggressive cost cutting when you are trying to grow your startup, and how can startups mitigate them? So basically, are there any adverse risks to actually cutting costs aggressively in an economy like what we're experiencing now? And if there are, what can startups do to mitigate them? So kind of like wanting to get your perspective. So Alicia, I'll kick off with you, hear from you, and then I'll go to Kembi and then Okpe, Ima, and then any other person. If you have questions, please raise your hands. Yeah.
What are some of the risks with aggressive cost cutting? Well, it's the risk would lie in if you are unclear whether you're playing offense or defense, and also like what stage of the game you're in. Are you in a stage where you need to play, you know, aggressive defense to hold the line of what you've built to get through, I don't know, some sort of economic storm to get to the other side? And with that aggressive cost cutting, can you still play offense? Can you still grow? Can you still, month over month, increase your numbers? And so I think that's, I don't know if that's the risk, but that's something that you've got to keep in mind. And if you are a leader, CEO, this has to be at the baseline of your thinking every day, all day, as you're building. So if you're just cost cutting out of fear, and you're like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. It also depends on what your spend was and your burn rate was before you decided to cost cut. If you had a really bloated operations budget and people are phoning it in, there's no performance-based reward system in play. Like, it, you know, there's so many variables, right? I think to answer that broadly, is a little bit difficult, but I would say, I think the thing to keep in mind is intentionality. Are you playing offense or defense? And if you're playing defense, why and for how long? And when will you be able to shift back into sort of first gear and start playing offense again? Because, you know, you've got to grow, you know, you've got to grow, but you've got to be sober in your approach to growth, to whereas you are grounded in building a real business that is funded by customer growth and revenue with, and this is like the tricky part about venture, with sort of an eye on the future and where you're going to be in the next couple of years. And I know investors have gotten a bad rap overall based on some things that have even been said here in this chat today. Inspiring founders to prioritize growth at all costs. But the reality is, just like founders have investors to answer to, investors have to answer to the LPs, right? And VC overall is a model that's been co-opted originally from the US and has been trying to find its footing in an ecosystem across Africa. So, and it looks different, right? And why I say that is because, yes, VCs have to answer to the LPs, and I'll tell you why. Because at a certain point, they've got to make their money back. We've got to make money. And so I think we're getting into some relationship dynamics, right? So if in a relationship, if someone is approaching you with sort of this high-level motivation that's perhaps unrealistic, a founder is going to meet you there in an unrealistic way with, you know, perhaps a fake set of books. Okay, I said it. And then we're gonna drive together probably off of a cliff, because by the time we realize where each other is in a realistic way, you know, perhaps it's too late. And I think that's what we've been seeing in the ecosystem with all of these companies who've raised, you know, millions and millions of dollars, sometimes hundreds of millions, but millions of dollars that are now crashing and burning. So I don't think there's any one entity in this dynamic of investors and founders that is more wrong than the other. I think everybody has to keep in mind their bottom line. And, you know, we as investors are constantly modeling and iterating our approach in order to best support founders in order to generate outsized returns, especially in Africa. And that journey is taking shape and sort of the path is unfolding under our feet as we continue along. So anyway, all that to say, to answer your question, aggressive cost saving, just keep in mind, am I playing offense or defense? If I'm playing defense, why and for how long? And when can I shift back into offense in order to assure that my company will continue to grow in a way necessary to build something scalable?
Great, thanks. Kenby, Okwe, Ima, do you have anything to add to that from your perspectives?
Yeah, no, definitely. I'm just going to really quickly piggyback of what Alicia said, because something I also want to say is that, you know, part of the key also for the best founders who've survived this period has actually also been the right investors who have, with everything in mind, with the growth, with their growth mandate, you know, they've also provided the right resources to help those founders grow. And I think that's something that I can really say that, you know, the Techstars Group, especially Alicia, and how she, you know, I know her personally as well, how she really is invested in helping founders still while going through, you know, just making sure that everyone meets their bottom line. And like she said, it's all a balancing act. And I think I've also really gotten a lot more appreciation for a lot of the investors I have now that have been more empathetic to the situation, as opposed to the ones who, you know, when I alluded to some of the ones who were the bad actors, these are people who have less empathy into what you're going through and not really providing you the additional resources to actually help. They're just saying, look, it's kind of us in this situation, damn what you're doing and figure out what you're doing, but we just need to basically like get, you know, to 10x tomorrow, so figure it out. But, you know, obviously the right dynamic is where you have both sides really talking to each other and having a genuine sort of relationship where they can build. Now to talk about the to talk really more about aggressive cost cutting and what, like, obviously to look out for, I think it now really goes back to I think we've all sort of said this one way or the other, is knowing your numbers, knowing how to, you know, for me, I sit with my accountants and we're literally deep diving. So the big one thing that we look at is cost of goods sold, right? So first of all, even from a higher level, this is what I always do. Like, first of all, you say, what are your largest figures? Go do it, just order it in descending order. So you know what's from the highest to the lowest. So pick out your top five and what are those line items? Then start to do a trimming your fat process. You now look at that, those items, and say, are they relevant to my, you know, are they like in the cost of goods sold bracket? Then you start to look at how you trim the fat. It's also for someone like me who's not really on the technical side of my data science officer to sit and look through GCP. Like, I was one of their engineers and have to look at the very specific features that were driving our hosting costs up every month. So it really just becomes something that allows for, it makes you even more intelligent in the business you're running and make you also a lot more careful. So you're not doing things out of fear. So I think the fear is the fear of the unknown. People who are probably doing it wrong are just not taking the time to be knowledgeable, you know, in what might be happening within their business units, and just being able to figure out what are the things driving our revenue so that we don't necessarily remove everybody. So like, for instance, I made the example of quality talent. You need talent to grow. So you can't go cutting, you know, I've seen companies that say, you know what, we're just going to cut everyone's salary by half. No, you don't have to do that. There's some people that are just redundant that may not even be needing to stay in the company that could actually save you from losing your top talent. So again, it's really just boiled down to, you know, honing down on those details and knowing a lot more of those line items in your, you know, in how your business runs, especially in the cost category, and understanding again just your financial modeling and how you're going to then grow the business from there.
Kemdi, Emmanuel, Ope, it's great to hear you guys, and I'm so proud to hear your perspectives just on all these questions and the approach you're taking in, you know, this challenging time that we're all in. I want to say kudos and well done to all of you. Although it's no shock, I've been watching you guys build for a while now. And so the audience is getting to know you guys and your perspective and approach. But, you know, I've known for a while, and it's just so refreshing to hear you guys as you're navigating and things you're prioritizing and keeping in mind at this time.
Thank you, Alicia.
Yeah, thank you so much, Alicia. Great to be sharing the stage with you.
What's like the biggest thing that you guys are sort of prioritizing now
internally, externally, as you sort of ride this wave of volatility, economically speaking? What are you guys thinking and prioritizing?
I would go on with that. I think I would sort of ride on the last question. I think when we talk about sort of cost cutting, it sounds very negative in terms of, you know, the fact that you have to ask something or you have to cut something out. I think for me, it's very much about cash efficiency. I wouldn't even use the word cost cutting. I think I would use cash efficiency. Because what that means, I think, Alicia, you mentioned something which is playing offense or playing defense. I think when you think about cash efficiency, you have to think about it in two ways. One of them is, how do I reduce cost and how do I make more money? Because there are some costs that you cannot afford to cut. If you're really going to grow, right, your cost of acquisition, especially if you're a B2C company, you need to think about your cost of acquisition, right? Marketing cost, customer acquisition cost, right? Talent. I think one of the things that's happening right now is that talent are becoming more expensive, especially with these, with a lot of opportunities that are available abroad where there's ability to earn in dollars. So there's a lot of competition for talent in the market. So as much as we are trying to look at cost cutting, I think talent is also getting more expensive. So there are some things you cannot cut. And I think that's why, for us, I always think about it in terms of efficiency. How do we make more money while we are still keeping our cost at the same level, right? Not necessarily cutting it, but keeping that, so keeping kids like, so it's a philosophy, right? Building lean. It's about the philosophy you want to build internally within your business, which is, okay, hey, if we have a philosophy internally where we have to build lean, it means that everybody within the business has the same mindset where we don't spend or we don't overspend, right? Like I always make a joke that I'm an Ijebu man, so I come from Ijebu, which means that we are used to not spending money, right? So I track every single naira that comes out of our account. I want to know what is happening with every month, because if you can track one naira, you can't track 1 million, right? People think that tracking your finances comes when you start making a lot of money. No, it has to be a behavior. It has to be a mindset where everybody has to account for what they're asking for, right? So I think it has to be for us, efficiency has to be like a culture within the business where people are not surprised when they're being questioned or even on the little things. So I think that's what every business has to take in now. How do you build that culture of efficiency within your business? Where one, everybody knows that they have to account for everything that you're doing. And two, everybody within the business also knows. For example, if you come to Render today and you ask, I think everybody in the leadership team can tell you what it takes for us to become profitable. Like, we know what we need to do. We know how much we need to earn to get to profitability, to get to break even. So everybody looks forward to that. So even when we became profitable, we were close to that number. So everybody knew that, okay, hey, when we get here, we're going to become profitable. So I think it's a culture where everybody knows that, look, guys, we are not raising to run, we are raising to grow, right, or to scale. So I think whatever we're doing as founders, we really have to not just say we are cutting costs, but really have to start preaching internally and letting our people know that the days when we are just spending and just coming to request for money and just requesting for funds and making requisition and just getting approval, those days are behind. So if you're going to come for approval today, you need to come with a proper business case that shows that whatever you're spending is going to add direct benefits to the business, because those days when we just have money to splash is gone. So I think everybody, so it has to be a culture that I think we as founders have to really, really drive within the business. And that's something that I'm personally trying to do within our business. And it's really worked for us because some people might not like it. And you also need to figure out the kind of people you're hiring. I think that some people are builders and some people are sustainers, right? People that I call sustainers are people that are used to working in organizations that are already established. So they're used to working in big organizations where they're just sustaining an existing system. Those kind of people will struggle to work in a startup, because startups have to bootstrap. They have to think about cost at every level. Working in a big company, you have a lot of money to spend. So if you're going to hire people that are builders, people that know what it takes to build in a very cash-strapped or crash-efficient business, right? So that they will not be shocked when you're telling them to not just blow money. They will not be shocked when you're asking them to justify 10 naira, 100 naira, right? Not that they are used to, blowing 100 million without thinking about it. So I think as founders, we also need to be careful when we are hiring from big companies, because those people might not have the right mindset to work within our own company, because where they are coming from, the cash efficiency is not really a thing for them. So we need to hire right, and we also need to drive the right culture within the organization where efficiency really becomes a thing that everybody knows and everybody works with. So I think for me, that's something that I think we need to do from a leadership perspective as founders.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Okwe. Thank you, everyone. I'm so sorry I got disconnected and I had a hard time joining back. But I jumped in and the conversation was going on and awesome points you raised, Okwe. And thank you, Kembe, as well. Kembe, awesome points you raised as well just before I dropped off. Okay, so we're just a little over time, but I do have one question from someone in the audience. If you don't mind, let's quickly take that. There's one question for Alicia, and then there's one question to the founders. So if we could just take that in the next 3 minutes, that would be great. So Mr. Akwar says, Alicia, what are some key metrics you would be looking for in a startup while building their MVP? So I guess he wants to know from like an investor perspective. And then to the founders, the question would be, what would you advise, also tied to the Alicia's question, what would you advise a startup to do or track in their first year to ensure growth and scalability? So I think those are some really good questions. So Alicia, do you want to kick off and then we'll take the others?
Sure. So that's a very broad and general question. It's going to be heavily reliant on the industry in which you're building and whether you're building hardware, software, the market size, right, of what your product or is approaching. So I would need to know that. So that would be key metrics to trash. Listen, customer acquisition cost is always critical, right? The lifetime value of those customers, just your unit economics in general, is always going to be a bottom line of importance and interest from investors, and also investors being able to identify if the founder or founding team is actually paying attention to that, versus just freestyling off of vibes and hype. So I think at the very broad and general level, I can say that. Also, what could also be helpful is being the gentleman who asked the question. If you could be specific, right, in your industry vertical, I think that would help the founders on the call as well. Give you like the best, most actionable advice. And I'll just jump in and say one last thing. If you're early stage, obviously, and you're building an MVP, there's not always going to be a ton to measure. And so in this case, I would say, and I think Ope is a great example, not to say there wasn't a lot to measure when we did his deal, but because, you know, like you said, third time founder, he was bootstrapping Renda for a while before he even raised VC dollars. But if you're building something and you're at MVP stage and you are, you know, trying to ensure that you are mapping and tracking the right thing. At that early stage, yes, like keep your unit economics at your bottom line, but also like the mentality and psychology of your approach is critical. And everything that the incredible founders on this call have mentioned in regard to their approach and key things to keep in mind is what investors will be looking for in you, like your mindset, your psychology, what's important. Are you trying to operate from a cash efficient perspective while keeping in mind growth and prioritizing it? You know, these are things that are absolutely going to be critical. And the only way you can actually do that is to have a very intimate relationship with your numbers, right? And also your customers, who you are targeting. You know, where you're finding them, you know, what are they living, breathing, thinking, eating, you know, all these things. And that's where Enter5 can really play a supportive role, Kemdi's company, because, you know, they do data insights and that's absolutely critical for most founders. So that's the high level advice I can give without having the specifics of your industry vertical that you're building in. And I will say, if you are a founder and you're currently building and you've got a company and you think that you are embodying the psychology and principles that the founders on this call and myself have mentioned today, please reach out. We're actively looking for you know, visionaries, entrepreneurs to back and to support as they scale and change the game in many ways. So feel free to reach out to me either here on X or on LinkedIn, and I would love to meet you.
All right, great. Thank you so much, Alicia, for that answering that. Okbe, Ima, I don't know if you just have any last words, whether on the question or in general, before we kind of wrap up.
I don't. I really enjoyed the conversation. Look forward to having more of this.
Great. Thank you so much for joining us, Ima. Thank you, Okbe. Thank you, Kemdi. Thank you to all our listeners. Today has been an awesome session. We definitely need to do a part two because I don't think we're even able to like really dive into the topic much. But the key insight that was shared by all the speakers were very helpful and very insightful. And I'm sure that people listening and those who listen later on the podcast will definitely get a lot of value. So thank you so much for joining us, Alicia, Emmanuel, Okpe and Kemdi. And guys, thank you for listening. Be sure to connect with the speakers. And yeah, thank you so much and have a great rest of the evening. Okpe, I just see you come back up. I'm not sure if you had one thing to say before we kind of close up.
Oh, I'm sorry. I wasn't sure if I was the one that was lost or I think we've said a lot. I think the last thing I would say is just for everybody to keep their eyes on their numbers. And yeah, I think that's the most important thing. And I think the last thing I was going to say is that founders need to move from tracking GMV, GTV, gross revenue, to actually tracking their margin. You cannot spend GTV or GMV on your operations. The only thing you can spend on your operations is your margin. Because sometimes we can record and we can actually report our GMVs and our gross margin and think that we're doing well. But I think if you're really going to be honest with yourself, think about your margin, because that's really, really what determines your profitability, right? How much is it? How much are you actually making after your cost of sales? Because that's what you're going to spend to run your business. So you can report your GMV to the whole world and say you're doing well, but the question is, what is actually your real margin? And how are you growing that to ensure that you're driving towards profitability? So I think that's the last thing I'm going to say. Let's focus on our margin and ensure that that's actually healthy, away from just our gross margin, our gross revenue.
All right. So much. Okay. Alicia, you want to say something?
No, I was just saying he's preaching. I hope everybody's catching that. He is preaching, okay? Protect him at all costs.
Yeah, I agree. Thanks. Kemdi, I see your backup. Any last words?
No. I think everyone said it all. This conversation is so dynamic. It has so many layers that we could keep going on and on. In terms of if anyone ever needs any help, we do market research. This is a very important time for people to know their customers better. We've helped all the best companies, to even the companies that just started yesterday, to figure out how to navigate consumer data across Nigeria, Kenya, and even South Africa. So anything that you need from that, I'll be happy to help as well. And just even any other tips that we found in our own journey. So yeah, thank you so much for the opportunity. It's been great.
All right. Thank you so much. Thank you so much, guys. And thank you to everyone listening. You can definitely hear a replay of this conversation on our podcast, Spotify, Startup Launch Code, search for Startup Launch Code. You should see this by next week. And thanks to all our speakers, Okwe, Alicia, Kendi, Emmanuel. Great conversation, great insights. And yeah, thanks for sharing with us today. All right, everyone. Until next time, have a great rest of the evening. Bye, guys.
Thanks for tuning in to our podcast. If you found value in today's episode, you can find more at gotlaunchpad.com. Stay inspired, stay innovative, and keep building those dreams. Until next time, bye.